Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. You can see at the end of the second to last line from the bottom, Tonu Rabbanan. And at this point, we're beginning a long Tanaic source that will take you down about almost halfway down Lamed Tes Omed Aleph, with details regarding the issue of Shavuos, of oaths. So the source opens up with Shavuos Hadayonim Afhi Belishoino Namra, the oath that's imposed by the court on an individual. We had in our Mishnah the example of someone who's Modeh B'Mitzvah, someone who partially admits to one who is claiming a collection of money or items from an individual, and the other fellow, the one from whom the claim is being made, admits partially, he is to swear to that effect. That's the Shavuos Hadayonim. It is as well as other things that you find in Halacha can be said in any language. It's not something that's limited to Hebrew, can be said in any language, so long as the person understands what he is saying. Omrim lo, we tell the person who is about to swear, Heve yodea, let it be known to you, we continue at the top of the Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Shekoho ilum kulo nizdazea, Bishol Shomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai, the entire world shook, trembled, when the Almighty said at Mount Sinai, Lo siso es shem Hashem Elokecha lashov, not to bear the name of God in a false fashion, as is the case in swearing falsely. This, of course, is said in order to motivate the person to tell the truth. If he doesn't, so he is guilty of a very serious offense. We have a new marking which highlights a series, and on the side we have explained this under the Nosei Mivne heading. Nosei is the topic and Mivne structural note regarding this shape, the house shape called Averos Shebatorah. You see that's the phrase that we enclose in the shape. All offenses mentioned in the Torah. And we will see here Chumros Shiesh Bishvo Shem Mishar Averos Shebatorah, areas of stringency that you find by oaths that you don't find by other areas of offense, of sin in the Torah. He'ora. And we want to point something out, that Prote HaBraisa, details of this Braisa, Muzborim BeHemshech HaOmud, will be explained later as we go on in the Gemara text itself, so that if something appears unclear as we go through the source, bear in mind that clarity will be achieved just by waiting till the later explanations. So we continue. V'chol averu shebetorah ne'emar bahen v'niko. You find regarding other mitzvahs, other sins in the Torah, concerning that, the Torah says v'niko, that there is cleansing, there is forgiveness. The kan, when it comes to bearing Hashem's name falsely or false oaths, ne'emar lo yinakeh, that the Almighty does not cleanse. V'chol averu shebetorah nifroin mimenu, with regard to other sins in the Torah, the offender is punished. V'kan mimenu umi mishpachta, when it comes to false oaths, not only is the offender punished, but his family is as well. Shenemar, al titein es picho lachti es besorecha. That is a posuk in Koheles. V'ein besoro elo krovo. The posuk says, don't allow your mouth to render punishment to your flesh. And flesh is a reference to your relatives. Shenemar, you see the same word, basar, umi b'sorcho loy tis'alom. Do not hide from your relatives. So the point, in as you can see, this pasuk in Yeshaya, where the word basar is a reference to one's relative, so too in the pasuk dealing with false speech. V'chol averus shebatorah nifroim mimenu, with regard to other sins, so the offender is punished. V'kan mimenu umikol ha'olam kulo. And here, not only is the offender punished, but the entire world is punished along with him. Shneamar, the pasuk says, Aloi v'chachesh. That's a pasuk that you can see from Hosea, Perek Dalet Pasuk Beis, and that has to do with lies, denials. V'chsiv alkein teval ha'aretz v'umlau kol yoshev ba. Pasuk Gimel, the following pasuk says that as a result, bereavement and trouble befalls the all of the world's inhabitants. V'chol averu shebetorah im yesh lo zchus tolun lo shnayim u'shlosha doros. With regard to other sins mentioned in the Torah, if a person has merit, the merit holds him in good stead for 2 to 3 generations. V'kan nifron mimenu la'alter. And in the case of false oaths, he's punished immediately. Shneamar, Otsi Sio Num Hashem Tzvokos Uvo El Beis Hagano V'El Beis Panishpo B'Shmila Shoker V'Lone B'Soch Beis V'Chilatu V'Es Eitzov Yes Avonov. And the pasuk that we just read is now explained Ho Tse Siha, that is from the beginning of the pasuk, La'alter, immediate Uvo El Beis Haganov Ze Hagonev Das Habrios She'ein lo momon eitzel chavero v'toano umashbio. This is a person who misleads people. Gonev das habrios means he literally steals the minds of people, means he misleads people. A person that has no claim of money against someone else, but lays a claim, he says, you know, you owe me such and such amount of money, and causes him to swear when he says, no, I don't owe you that. The El Beis Hanishba Bishmi LaShoker, that's Kimashmao. This, the pasuk that we read that results, that in which Hashem says, I will punish them, includes this kind of person, someone who swears falsely. V'lona Besoch Beis V'chilatu Es V'seitzo V'esafonov. Holomadatov, from here you learn Dvorim, things, She'ein Eishumayim Mechalanoison, substances like, it's like stone that fire and water do not destroy. Shua sheker mechalo son. False oaths do destroy them. Im omar eini nishba. If the person who is about to swear decides, no, I'm not going to swear, potrin oso miad. We exempt him, meaning, okay, you don't have to swear, but you do have to pay. If the idea here was someone who we suspect of owing money, and he says, I don't want to swear. So we say, that's good, don't swear, but you do have to pay. And if he says, no, I'm going to swear to substantiate my claim of not owing. So those who are standing there say to one another, let us depart, let us run away from these wicked men. Ukshimashbian oisoi omrim lo, and when the oath is imposed, we say to him, Heviodea, Shelo Avdaitcho nu Mashbian Moischo, Elo Aldas Hamokoim Valdas Basedin. When you swear, you should recognize that the oath is according to the words that you say is according to the understanding of the Almighty and the understanding of the court. Not words to be said as you personally want to interpret them, but what you say has to be said with the understanding of the court and the Almighty. Shekein motzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu kishishbia es Yisrael omar lahen. We find when Moshe Rabbeinu imposed an oath on the people of Israel, he said to them, "Du shelo al da'atchem ani mashbiaschem," that the vow that I'm imposing upon you, the oath that I'm imposing upon you, to accept the Torah and the mitzvos, is an oath that is said not with your own interpretation of the words, el aldas hamokim v'aldati. It's with the Almighty's understanding and the way I understand what you're saying. Shenemar v'lo idchem levadchem v'chulei ki es asher yeshno po. Ein li ela oisen ha'oindim al har Sinai. The oath that Moshe Rabbeinu imposed on them was certainly with regard to those that were present at Mount Sinai. What about the following generations? Doros haboy v'geirim asin mezgar minayin. Future generations and converts that will only in the future convert. From where do we know that they are also bound by the Torah and the mitzvot as given at Mount Sinai? Talmud Lomar in that same pasuk says, "Ve'es asher einenu," and those that are not with us right now. V'ein li elo mitzvah shekiblu aleihem mehar Sinai. And I understand that that is true with regard to those mitzvahs that they accepted at Mount Sinai. Mitzvahs ha'asidos l'skadish kigal mikra megillah minayin. Mitzvahs that in the future will be imposed. For example, the reading of Megillah on Purim. Obviously that was not in existence at the time of the giving of the Torah. Yet the Jewish people are bound by oath to observe that. From where do we know that is included? Talmud Lomar, Kimu v'kiblu. This is a pasuk from Megillas Esther, Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They accepted on Purim that which they had already accepted at Mount Sinai. In other words, there was a type of new acceptance of the Torah on Purim, which included the new mitzvah of reading of the Megillah. And now the Gemara goes over this source, different points mentioned in the source. Referring to the opening of the source, my af hi bilishona ne'emra. This is a quote from Lamed Ches Lamed Beis, the opening of our shiur today. You can see we have an arrow indicating that it's a quote from Lamed Ches Lamed Beis. You can look back at the bottom and find a corresponding arrow. What is meant by that? That it is also said in its language. Kedisnan, as the Mishnah teaches, elu ne'emorin b'chol loshon. There are different mitzvos, different rituals that are recited in all languages, not limited to Hebrew. And it says in the Mishnah there in Maseches Sota, it says, Parsha Sota vidui meiser, Kriyas Shema, Utfila, Ubirchas Hamozon, Ushvuas Haedus, Ushvuas Hapikodon. So this is a list of different things, different recitals that are done in any language. The Sota Parsha, which is part of the ceremony involving a married woman suspect of immorality and brought to the Beis HaMikdash. The section of the Torah dealing with her is part of the ritual that takes place there. And Vidui Meiser, where one declares that he has tithed all his tithes at the end of the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, that is a parsha that is read, and Kriya Shema, that speaks for itself, and Tefillah, prayer, Birchas Hamozen, that also speaks for itself, and two types of oaths, Shvuas Ha'edus, the oaths imposed on witnesses who claim they don't know testimony, and in order to verify their claim, they have to swear to that effect, and Shvuas HaPikodon, the shvua that a Bailey will take if he denies having an article being claimed. And the Komar Nami, and our source, adds, Shvuas HaDayonim Afhi B'Lishono Nemra. The Shvuas HaDayonim, the shvua that we have been speaking about, where there's a partial admission of a debt or of a collection, it too is recited in any language, not limited to Hebrew. Omar Mar, another quote from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Omrim Lo Heve Yodea Shekol Olam Kulo Nizdaze B'Shoshem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Sisas Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. The person is about to swear, we tell him, we inform him that the entire world trembled when the Almighty said, do not bear my name falsely. My Taima, what's the uniqueness of this particular commandment? Mishum ilema, the double underline scheme that you see here are, as we explain on the side of the Gemara, these are shlovim levara lomadavka ovun shvus Why specifically regarding the sin of false oaths did the world tremble as opposed to other offenses, other sins? So, if it's because it was given at Mount Sinai, as to Dibros Nami Yisrael, the Ten Commandments in total, in other words, the other nine commandments were also given at Mount Sinai, and we don't see a comment regarding any of the other commandments that the world trembled. Ve'alo mishum dechamira. Rather, because it's stricter, it's more severe than all other mitzvahs, all other commandments, sins. Mi'chamir, is that really so, that it's more severe? Va'atnan, we have a Tanaic source. It says, Elu hein hakalos. The following are considered the lighter type mitzvahs. Ase velo sase, positive commands, and negative commands. Chutz milo sisa, with the exception of this particular mitzvah of do not bear the name of Hashem falsely, the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Chamuros, the strict types of mitzvos, zu krisus and mitzvos bezdin, velo sisa imohen. Offenses, sins punishable by kores or at court execution, and amongst them is also lo sisa. It's not punishable by kores or by mitzvos bezdin, but it's considered chamur, but not more than any of the other of not more than any of those. It's together with them. So, what is the reason that with regard to shvuas sheker, false oaths, is the world described as having trembled? Elo, kidekotoni taimo, the chol averos shibaturemo in v'nika, v'kan emar lo yenake. With regard to all their sins, the Torah makes reference to cleansing. Here, with regard to false oaths, no reference to cleansing is made. Question, v'chol averos shibaturemo lo nemar ben lo yenake, and regarding the other offenses of the Torah, does it not say that there is no cleansing? The pasuk says v'nakeh lo yinakeh, cleansing will not be, and that's not limited to false oaths. Hahu miboyale lichrib lozer. That lo yinakeh expression has relevance to what Rabbi Lozer teaches. The sanur lozer omer if shalomar v'nikah shikvanemar lo yinakeh. You can't say there's cleansing when it also says there's no cleansing. Yev shalom lo yinakeh, shikran emar v'nakeh. You can't say that there's no cleansing when the Torah says there is cleansing. Ha-ketzad. How do you resolve these two phrases which seem to be contradictory? Menakeh l'shofim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleanses those who do penitence. Ve'ena menakeh l'she'enon shofim. But he does not provide penitence. He doesn't cleanse those who remain in their sinful ways. So at this point, it seems that with regard to false oaths, there's no way of achieving full cleansing. Regarding false oaths, this was the third of the stages of analysis. What is so severe about false oaths? Because regarding false oaths, it says lo yinakeh, which is a phenomenon in contrast with all other mitzvahs where there is nikui, of course, when there is tshuva. So it would seem the seriousness here is that even if there is tshuva, even if there, let's say, there's an expression of regret, with a sincere regret or what have you, nevertheless, there isn't cleansing, there isn't forgiveness, making it very serious, more serious than all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, and as a result, the world trembled. Kol aveir shebetorah nifroi mimenu v'kan mimenu mimishpachto. This too, a quote from what we saw above, and we have little stars, reference stars on the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this quote came from. All other mitzvahs, the offender is punished. In this case of false oaths, the offender and his family are punished. Question, v'chol aver shebetorah mimishpachto lo, and with regard to other offenses, his family is not punished? And I will place my wrath upon that man and his family. If he sinned, what is his family guilty of? Lo maloch. This shows us ein lucha mishpacha sheish bo moiches shein kula mochsin. You don't have a family where one is a moches is literally a tax collector, but he's a person who collects taxes in an inequitable fashion. If he's doing it, his whole family is doing it. Sheish bo listim shein kula listim. If there's a thief in the family, they're probably all thieves. But nei shemechapin alov. Why do we say that? Why do we say that? That they're all mochsin, or that they're all thieves, because they cover for him. In other words, if one family member does the actual wrong, the other family members, knowing it, cover for him. So they're all guilty. So why do you say that this is something unique to false oaths? Answer: Hosam bedino achrino. With regard to other oaths, with other sins, that is, and it being true that they're all in it together, but they get a lesser punishment than the offender himself. Acha bedino tidei. Here, with one who swears falsely, they get the same punishment that he gets. Kidisanya. And here we have a source describing other offenses. Rebbe Yomer vichrati oisoi. Ma tamad lomar. Pasuk says, and he will be excised. He will be cut off. Why is that being taught? We saw this pasuk quoted before. Yochol kol mishpacha kula bikores. We saw before the pasuk that said, "I will place my wrath on him and uve mishpachto." So, if you're saying that the offender and his family members are punished, are you saying that the family members all get kores? They all get that serious punishment? Tamad lomar, oisoi. Oisoi bikores, velo kol mishpacha kula bikores. He, the offender, if he committed a kores punishable sin, so he gets punished with that. The rest of the family, not so. They're punished, but lesser form of retribution. However, when it comes to a person who swears falsely, it should be known that he is not alone in the punishment he is going to get, but the rest of the family as well. V'chol averu shebetorah nifroi mimenu, v'kan mimenu mikolom kulo. With regard to other offenses, the offender is punished. Here, the entire world bears the sin. Question, and here we skip the printer's parentheses section. Now we go to the second line from the bottom. V'chol averu shebetorah mikol olam lo, and is that really so that with regard to other offenses in the Torah, the rest of the world, other than the offender, is off scot free? V'aksiv v'chashlu ish v'achiv, and this is explained ish v'avon achiv. A man in his fellow man's sin. This teaches us that each member of the Jewish people bears responsibility for one another. So that if one person sins and is to be punished, so too is his fellow Jew. So the Gemara answers. Because at this point, before we get to the answer, at this point it seems that this concept of not only is the offender punished, but the rest of the world too, isn't limited, as the source claimed, to false oaths. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, the idea of others bearing the burden along with the offender, that's Shiesh Biyodim Limchois Filomichu, that's when it's in their power to protest, to stop the individual, and they remained passive, and they didn't protest. So under circumstances like that, so then everyone else bears the sin. That's not the case when it comes to false oaths. Even without that element, everyone else will bear the sin. My ikah bein rishoyim de mishpachto, the rishoyim de alma. Bein tzadikim de mishpachto le tzadikim de alma. Having made reference to the possibility of not only the offender being punished, but those around him, the world over, also bearing sin, we have several gradations. We have, besides the offender themselves, we have the wicked in his family, those who are wicked outside the family, the pious ones of the family, and the pious ones world over. How do we evaluate? How do we judge? How do we categorize each one of these? So we have some markings that are featured on the side under the Nosei Mivneh. The diamond highlights Shar Averos and Shvuos, other sins and false oaths. And the double underline highlights Anoshim Shoinim Pu'anus Amagia Lachoteu L'mishpachto Al Shvuos V'al Shar Averos. The punishment for the sin, whether it's other sins or Shvuos. The Gemara continues, Hu B'Shar Averos B'dinei. The offender himself, when it comes to other sins, gets whatever the Torah mandates. Urishoyim de mishpacha bedin chamur, and the wicked members of his family get a serious punishment. Urishoyim de almo bedin hakal, and the wicked of the rest of the world get a light type of punishment. Tzadiki dahocha vehocha ptiri. With regard to other averos, the righteous of his own family, of the offender's family, and the righteous world over are exempt. Gabi Shvua, now when it comes to false oaths, you see how the ante is raised. Hu urishoyim de mishpacha kedinei. The liar, he who swore falsely, and the wicked of his family get the same level punishment. Urshoyim de almo bedin chamur. The wicked world over get a serious punishment. Tzadiki de hacha v'hacha bedin hakal. The righteous of his family and the world over also get punished, but a light form of punishment. Rashi does not elaborate on this, so that doesn't leave us too much room to expound on this, other than in heaven there are different levels of punishment that are accorded to these different categories. We continue in the Gemara. Im Omar Eini Nishba Potrino Somiyad. If the one who is sought to swear says, I don't want to swear, so he is released immediately and he pays what he would have to pay. So that if he was Modeh B'Miksas, if he admitted owing part of the money and he doesn't want to swear that he's exempt from the rest of the claim, so he'll have to pay the full claim and doesn't have to swear anymore. V'imamar hareini nishba, and if he says, I want to swear, amdim shamomrim zeh lozeh, suru no me'al ohelei ho'anoshim ho'rishoyim ho'eile. Those that are present say, let's leave the tents of these wicked men. Now, this is in the plural, these wicked men. It's mashma, not only the one who is about to swear, but the one who is imposing the oath, the one who's laying the claim, is also termed wicked. Bishlama hu dekomishtaba koi basuro. Granted, the one who is going to swear is maintaining his ways. Elo hahu dekomashbale amai. But the one who is imposing the oath, what is his, we'll say, his deficiency, his negativity? Answer, Kidisanya Reb Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Shvuas Hashem Tia ben Shneim. That's the pasuk that you find in Sefer Shmos, Perichov Beis Pasuk Tes, that deals with this parsha of swearing, this section of the Torah dealing with the oath. Melamed Shechola Shvua Al Shneihem. Since the pasuk says Bein Shneihem, the oath is between the two of them, it conveys that idea that the oath and the punishment for a lie is upon the one who imposed the oath, also another one, the one who laid claim. Now, Rashi explains what is his problem. The top line in Rashi, Shechol al shneim, sheshneim ne'noshim ba, shelo diktek limsor momono biyad ne'eman, ubo lidei chilul Hashem. When you gave the money as a loan, and now you're asking for it back, and you're dealing with someone that potentially is going to swear falsely, why didn't you, who lent the money, take care to give the money to someone who is honest, who is careful, who is trustworthy in the first place, that we shouldn't come to this situation of a false oath? The court informs the person about the swear that when you say the words of your oath, it's based on our understanding of your words, not the way you intend to interpret your words. What's the reason for this announcement? Answer: Mishum kanyo derava, because of the incident involved with the walking stick that took place in the case where Rava had been present. This was explained at length in our Gemara back on Daf Chof Tes, where a person had claimed that he paid the debt, and prior to his swearing, he said to the one collecting, "Would you hold my walking stick?" And the walking stick happened to be filled with money. And he says, after handing the walking stick to the one laying the claim, he says, he swears, "I gave him all of the money." And in fact, like, technically speaking, he did. But the person claiming the money didn't understand that he had been paid that way. Threw the cane on the floor in wrath. It smashed open and all the money became revealed. And of course, when the person swore, "I gave him all the money," he was swearing with his own, let's say, interpretation of events in mind. And that's not the way we would have understood someone who claims he had paid up the debt. So in order to dispel or to preempt such behavior, this announcement is made, and the one swearing is informed that lo al daitcha, your oath is not based on your interpretation, but the way we understand things. Hataino shtei kesef. The Mishnah mentioned that in order for the shvuos hadayonim to be imposed, so the Hebrew was hataino shtei kesef. What does that mean? So we have a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, as to what is meant by hataino shtei kesef. And the topic heading on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, number one, kfiras hataino bekamo, when the one being claimed from denies. We said that the shvuos hadayonim, this oath featured in our perek, is the shvuah when there's partial admission. Okay, there's partial admission. Well, how much is being denied? So Rav says there is a minimum amount of denial, 2 kesef. And Shmuel says the minimum amount of denial is much, much less, a pruta. How much is the initial claim then? If the machlokis Rav and Shmuel concerns the amount of the denial, so what is the amount in the initial claim, the minimum amount? So that also is a machlokis. Rav says the initial claim is 2 kesef plus a pruta, so that in that scenario you would have your denial of 2 kesef and the admission of 1 pruta. Shmuel says the initial claim is 2 kesef. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav, kfiras taino shtei kesef. The word taino in the Mishnah meant the denial of the claim. So the denial is 2 kesef. The result of that would be that then the initial claim is more It's two kesef plus a pruta, leaving the pruta for the amount to be admitted to. Ushmuel, Omar, taino atzma, shte kesef. The initial claim could be a total of two kesef. Afilu lo kofar, elo bepruta, velo hoida, elo bepruta chayev. According to Shmuel, even if after the initial claim of two kesef is made, even if the person denies a pruta, or he admits a pruta, either way, you have generated the grounds for an oath. According to Shmuel, then, that the minimum amount of denial could be as little as one pruta. Basically, a person saying, yes, I owe you everything that you're claiming, the two kesef, with the exception of a pruta. And that would be sufficient grounds for imposing an oath. Omar Rova, Deka Masnisen Kavose Derav. The Mishnah, when you read it carefully, would support Rav's approach. Ukroi Kavose Dishmuel. But when you read the Psukim, the Torah Psukim, they would bear out Shmuel's approach. Deka Masnisen Kavose Derav, Dekotoni. Careful reading of the Mishnah supports Rav. It said in the Mishnah, Hakaino shte kesef vahahoido shove pruta v'ilu kfiras taino pruta lo katoni. The Mishnah makes reference to the taino, which according to Rav would mean the denial of the claim. The individual is denying owing to kesef. He's admitting a shove pruta. The idea of a denial of one pruta is not stated in the Mishnah. Utnan nami. There's a suggested alternative girsa on the side, which we will read. It says utnani chamesha prutos hein. There are five areas of law that a pruta figures centrally in them, and they include hoino bepruta, vahaudo bepruta. Without getting into any extensive explanations, one area is ono, which has to do with overcharging. That's not our topic, but it says ho'odo bepruta. Ho'odo means the confession, the admission. I do owe you a pruta. That is stated. We continue in the Gemara text. Beginning of the line, you see the word ve'ilu kfira bepruta lo katani. The Mishnah does not say, doesn't mention the idea of denial is considered denial if it's a mere pruta. Oh, well, that fits in well with Rav's scheme of things. According to Rav, in order for denial to be sufficient for generating an oath, it has to be a denial of two kesef. Two kesef, of course, is much more than a mere pruta. Pruta being the smallest unit of currency. Ukroi kavosei d'shmuel. Careful reading of the Psukim, though, bears out Shmuel's approach. Dichtiv. Here we have a series of Psukim found in Shmos, Perek, Chof Beis, Psukim, Vav through Ches. We recommend looking at those Psukim. You will see that we include these Psukim on the side of our Gemara. Perek, Chof Beis, Posuk Vav. It says, Ki tain ish el reu kesef o kelim lishmor v'kunav mibeis ha'ish im imotzei haganov yishalem shnoyim im lo imotzei haganov v'nikrav bala bayas el hu Elohim im lo sholach yodo b'mleches reu al kol dvar pesha al shorach amor al se al salmo al kol avedo asher yomar ki hu ze ad hu Elohim yovo dvar shneem Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yishalem Shnayim Lirei Ehu. This pasuk, though it's stated in the context of a shomer, of an item given over to a bailey to watch, it also has relevance to the topic of partial admission. And now we go to the Gemara. The pasuk said, pasuk Vav Ki Ten Isha Reu Kesef O Kelim Lishmor. Ma kelim. Kelim are vessels, and it's in the plural. The minimum plural is two. So just like kelim shnayim, af kesef shnayim. Two. Ma kesef dover chashuv. Just like kesef is something of significance. Af kol dover chashuv. So to anything other than vessels. Vessels is a separate category, but anything else would have to be something of significance. So items like that will generate an oath if there's partial confession, partial admission. Bekoma rachmona ki hu ze. Now, in order to appreciate this, we look at Rashi in Dibur HaMaskil ki yitain. Looking at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, ki yitain ish tchilas nesina shtei kesef. The initial amount given, the total initial amount was two kesef. Not two kesef and a pruta. Two kesef. That is, we'll say, comfortable for Shmuel's understanding. The alokoi, and on that amount, the posuk said, ki hu ze. Tovor choshuv. Veshiwi chachomim she mo'o kesef. Tovor choshuv hu. Mo'o is a coin. It's a relatively small silver coin, that's considered something of significance. Rashi continues, Ma kesef dover choshev, al kol dover choshev garsinan. That's the girsa that we have, alo garsina af kelim dover choshev. And he tells us not to have the girsa in using the word kelim, dilu kelim amrin lekamon dafil bekfiras machten chayev. Later, we will discover that when it comes to vessels, even if the vessels are insignificant, that could lead to an oath. V'hai af kol b'midi delav kli komar. When our Gemara has the drosha and says af kol, also all to other things, that's a reference to things that are not vessels. The komar achmona, and here we get interested in our drosha. It said in the Torah, ki hu zeh, al zeh bo ha-shvua. Kishiyomar, ki hu zeh, kishemoda b'mitzas. When the one admitting, the one who is being claimed from says, yes, ki hu zeh, this indicates, yes, I admit to part of your claim. Al mahoido, you see from this that the admission, mitoch tainas, shtei kesef hu. It's based on an initial claim of only two kesef. Not like Rav had said, two kesef and a pruta. So the reading of the psukim, the kroi, would bear out Shmuel's approach that the initial claim is just two kesef and not more than that, as Rav had said. Now, we go back to our Gemara. We have a give and take between Rav and Shmuel, and we tried to highlight their names with a squiggle underline as we go back and forth between the speakers. The Rav, Hahu miboyale lohoido b'mitzas ataina. Rav uses the expression of ki hu zeh, the word zeh, he needs to indicate that a shvuah is imposed only when there is a partial admission. And Rashi explains how you see this in the words in Dibur Masa Hahu. Rashi says, Ze mi boy ale, de ain shvu ela bohido, the mitzas, klomar, ez ze ani mode. You see the word ze is featured, this I admit, velo, and means this. This means a part of what you're claiming I do admit, the rest I deny. Velo la gmuran, it's not here to teach us the atainish de kesef koi, that the ze is a reference, reflection back on the two kesef. Ulaolam hoido levad mikfiras shtei kesef ka'omar. And in the end, says Rav, the hoido is something besides the denial of two kesef. So that the two kesef, as far as Rav is concerned, two kesef figures as the amount of the denial, not the amount of the initial claim. We continue in the Gemara. Shmuel says, Ksiv hu, uksiv ze. In the Pasuk, we saw the expression, ki hu ze. Di kofar b'miksas v'oidi b'miksas chayav. So that as far as Shmuel is concerned, you have in this pasuk a reference to the initial claim is the two kesef, and the concept of moda b'miksas as well is reflected in these words. V'rav, well, now that Shmuel said that each word has significance, the word who and the word zeh, what does Rav do with the two expressions? So chad lahoidol b'miksas hatayna, one is, as he said before, to indicate that an oath is imposed only when there's partial admission. V'chad, the other word, is to tell me lahoidol mimin hatayna, that when there is admission, the admission must be of the same material as the initial claim. If you recall, we mentioned a person claims wheat and the other fellow says, I owe you barley, that would be a hodah that's not mimin hatayna. Ushmuel. Now, Shmuel here raises a question. We'll read the words of the Gemara, but in order to really appreciate this, we'll need to read the Rashi as well. So the Gemara asks, or Shmuel asks, on Rav, Lav memela shamis mine de chosra lo taina. According to this, you don't need the word to tell me that point. Now there's an assumption that we must make here, that the word kesef that appears in the pasuk is a reference to the initial taina. That's Shmuel's assumption, that kesef is the initial taina, the initial claim. The result of that would be that the kfira, the denial, is going to be less than that. So if the initial claim is two kesef, the denial is automatically going to be less than two kesef, which is not like Rav. Now let's read the Rashi. V'lav memelo shamas mino de chosro la taina l'rav parchinon. The question is on Rav. Nehi nami de lemitzas ataina umi min ataina. Also granted that the words we have who and ze, one comes to teach me that there has to be partial admission, and the other is teaching me about the admission has to be of the same substance as the original claim. Mihu lav memelo shamas mino. Nevertheless, do we not anyway see from this the chosra la taina rishona, that the amount being denied is less than the amount of the original claim? The ein kanod kfira mishtei kesef. And as we said, the working with the assumption that the kesef, the two kesef, is the original claim. So now when you have a denial, the denial being that there's also partial admission, the denial is less than two kesef. That, again, is a question on Rav. The Gemara continues, Elo Omar Rav, kesef ki osume ikora, the kesef that appears in the pasuk, ki tenisha reo kesef okelim, that kesef, when it initially appears, l'kfira hudasa, it's coming to describe the amount of the denial, not the amount that we thought is representative of the initial claim, but rather it's the denial. Dimkein lichtoiv rachmona, if it was there for the initial claim, then let the Torah simply write ki itein ish el reo kelim lishmor, without using the word kesef. Vano amino ma kelim shnayim af kol shnayim. Just like kelim is in the plural, it's two. So to anything, kesef also would be two kesef. I would be able to conclude that the initial item given was two kesef, if that's what the purpose of the pasuk is to in the first place. It didn't have to even write the word kesef. I would have been able to derive that from the fact that the word kelim appears in the plural, minimum of two. Kesef de Kosef Rachman Olomali. So then why does the Torah write Kesef anyway? Yemeno inin l'taina, if it's not there to describe the amount of the initial claim, Teneu inyan likfira. As we said before, if it's not necessary for the initial time, if that were the purpose, then the Torah wouldn't have to write the word kesef to begin with. So the Torah must have written kesef for a different purpose, to tell me the amount of the denial. The one being claimed from would have to deny a minimum of two kesef in order to generate an oath. Ushmuel Omar Loch, Shmuel would respond to that. E Kosav Rahmana Kalim, if as you suggested that let the Torah write Kalim alone without Kesef, Velo Kosav Kesef, without writing Kesef, Hav Amina, I would have come to an erroneous conclusion. I would have thought Ma Kalim Shnayim Af Kol Shnayim Avol Dovar Choshev Lo Boinon. Just like Kalim is in the plural, two things, so too any two things. And money would have been included in that. And when we speak of two things, it could be even something that is of no significance. And I wouldn't have had then any basis of concluding that the original claim would have to be a minimum of two kesef. Komashamalon, that's why the word kesef appears, to teach me the concept of dover choshuv, that the initial claim must be a claim of something of significance, and that is realized only when, in the case of money, it's two kesef, two silver coins. So as far as Shmuel is concerned, he has his response to Rav, that the word kesef is there to describe the initial claim, and I wouldn't have been able to derive that from the word kalim itself, because the word kalim itself doesn't imply something of significance. We continue with some more markings, and on the side of the Gemara you notice we have a mivneh, a structural note. Triangles will appear in two directions. With the point facing up, it's an argument in favor of Rav, and the inverted triangle is in favor of Shmuel. This marking scheme, take note, continues a significant way down Mem Omed Aleph. So we'll be spilling over well onto Daf Mem Omed Aleph, going a little beyond our strict Daf Yomi quota as we go on in the Gemara. Tanan. Shtei kesef yesh l'chob yodi. This is a quote, and we refer to this as the Resha, because later we'll be quoting the Seifa, the latter part. So this is an earlier part of the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, you owe me two kesef, and the one being claimed from responded, ein l'chob yodi ela pruta potter. I owe you only a pruta. My taima, why is there exemption here? Lav mishum de chosra lo taina. Isn't it because the initial claim is lacking? The initial claim in this Mishnah is shtei kesef. According to Rav, what did we say the initial claim must be? The initial claim must be two kesef and a pruta, enabling a denial of shtei kesef and an admission of a pruta. But if the initial claim is a total of two kesef, so you don't have enough there to have a denial of two kesef with a partial admission of a pruta. Therefore, as the Mishnah says, there's no shvua, and that's in accordance with Rav. So the Gemara asks, Utiyofta de Shmuel, is this then therefore a Tanaic refutation of Shmuel's position? According to Shmuel, the initial claim could have been just two kesef. Omar loch Shmuel. Shmuel responds and says, Mi savris shove kotani. Who says that this Mishnah is talking about the value of two kesef, something of value. Davka katani. The Mishnah is to be understood in terms of specific examples, specifically two coins. And the lacking here isn't a lacking of amount being claimed. It's a separate lacking that results in the ptur, the exemption of shvuah. We said that in order for a shvua to be generated, the denial has to be of the same material or same substance or the same kind of that which is being claimed. In this case, that's missing. What's being claimed here? Two silver coins. Or I should say two pieces of silver. Not an item having the value of two pieces of silver, but literally, and that's what Shmuel means when it says dafka, literally two pieces of silver, and the admission is, yes, I owe you nothing to do with silver, though I owe you a piece of copper. So as the Gemara said, that which was being claimed is not that which he's admitting to, and that which he's admitting to doesn't resemble that which is being claimed, and it's on those grounds that there is shvua exemption, not because of value discrepancies. Question. Ihochi Emo Seifa. Ihochi means, if so, that as Shmuel claims the Mishnah is to be understood Davka, then, well, continue reading. The Mishnah says, Shtei Kesef Upruto Yeshli Biotcha. You owe me two coins, or two pieces of silver and a copper. And the fellow responds, "Ein l'cha biyadi ela pruta. I owe you only a pruta. Chayov, that generates a shvua. He amrs bishlamo shove. If you say very well that the Mishnah is in terms of value, mishum hachi chayov. There was an initial claim of something of value of two kesef and a pruta." And there was an admission of one pruta. If there's an admission of one pruta, in that case, there's a denial of two kesef in value. Elohi amris dafka, but if you say that the Mishnah is to be taken on a literal basis, that namely, you owe me two pieces of kesef and a piece of copper, well then, amai chayav, why is there a shvuah obligation? Mashe toano, lo hodelo, umasha hodelo lo tuano. There was a claim put in of two pieces of silver and a copper coin. As far as the claim of two pieces of silver, there wasn't any hodah concerning the silver. So you're lacking in a in hodah, what we call hodah mimin hataina. The Gemara answers that's not true. Midi hu taima elo l'Shmuel. Is this question in fact not raised as an objection simply against Shmuel? And I will tell you, yes, the Mishnah is dafka. And nevertheless, there is grounds for a shvua. Ha'omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, we have heard Shmuel say, Toano chitim usorim, v'hoidilo be'echo mehem chayov. If a claim is placed for two distinct items, wheat and barley, and the one being claimed from admits to one of the two items, that is considered moida b'mitzis, and that is sufficient grounds for generating a shvua. And that's what we see over here. Silver and copper was claimed, and there was an admission to one of them, the copper. Hachi nami mistabra. And this analysis is also most likely that we're talking about dafka, that the examples of the Mishnah are not in terms of value, but in literally those items. Midiktoni seifa, as the continuation of the Mishnah says, litra zohav yesh li biyadcha, and the responder says, ein li biyadi ela litra kesef. A claim for a liter, litra is a weight. In modern terms, we have something that sounds very much like that, a liter. A liter of gold is what you owe me. And the respondent says, no, I owe you only a liter of silver, there is exemption. If you understand the Mishnah in terms of the literal examples as they appear, then I understand the exemption. There was a claim place for a liter of gold material, gold, and gold meaning specific that metal, gold, and the admission was silver, so the admission doesn't represent or is not an example of the material that was being claimed. That is reason for exemption. Eloyam is shaveh, but if you read the Mishnah in terms of value, amai potter, why is there an exemption? Litra tuva have, a liter of gold is a large amount of value, and the confession or the admission was, I owe you a lesser amount of value. That would have been a straightforward moda b'mitzas. Elami de seifa davka reisha nami davka. From the fact that the seifa is to be taken literally, the claim of gold, admission of silver, reisha nami davka, the reisha, the ptur, the exemption in the reisha was because of what we explained before, mashetano lo hodolo, and not because there was a lack in terms of the value amounts of the initial claim. Well, with this explanation in place, leimot hevi tiufta the Rav, shall we now say that the Mishnah is in fact a refutation of Rav's opinion, Rav's point of view? Omar loch Rav. Rav responds, kulo masnisin shove. The bulk of the Mishnah is in terms of value. And as Rav said earlier, when the initial claim was 2 kesef, what was, and we saw at the first triangle that we saw, shtei kesef, yesh lo b'yod v'ein lo b'yod ela pruta, that was, the lacking was, as Rav says, is because it was lacking in the value, the amount of the taina, not because of the materials under discussion. However, the end of the Mishnah, v'litrazov shiny, at the end of the Mishnah, that in fact is different. There, you're not dealing with a value claim. There, you're dealing with an actual substance. Since he put a claim in using a weight of gold, he wasn't interested in something of the value of, but rather specifically that material. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem, Teda de Kotoni Seifa. If you continue reading in the Mishnah, the rest of the Mishnah in fact is in terms of value, not literal. The Rashi that I would like to read with you is first found on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Litro Shiny, the Kevan de Toano Mishkol, since the claim involved a specified weight, Vadai Davke Kotoni. It's clear that it's literal. Avol Kol Matbeis de Masnisin, but all the other coins mentioned in the Mishnah isn't a reference to a specific material of the coin, but rather Shovet Komar, the value represented. Shederech Matbea Lasoso Domim L'chol Dvorim. It is common that we state values in terms of coins, so that when we make reference to coins, we're not speaking specifically about that coin per se, but the value of it. So now we continue at the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, Teda Dekotoni Seifa. In our Mishnah, it also said Dinar Zov Li Biyadcha, you owe me a Dinar Zov. And the responder says, Ein lochabiyodi elo dinar kesef, or a tresis, or a punyon, or a pruta, or pruta. These are all different kinds of coins. Chayav. And the result of the of that is an oath. There's a partial admission. Why? The first coin, the claim was a gold coin. The admission wasn't in terms of gold coins. Yet, it's considered, it's called Moide b'mitzas and the Hoidomi Minataina. Why shakol min matbeachas hein? they're all under the category of coins. Yamris Bishlamo Shoveh, if you explain things in terms of value. Mishmachi Chayav, I put a claim of coins, the value of dinar Zahav, and he confesses to less than that, coins less than that in value. I understand why there's a shvuel. Yamris Dafka Amai Chayav, if you say that the Mishnah is to be taken specifically and literally, you owe me a gold coin, and the fellow admits that I don't owe you a gold coin, but I owe you a silver coin. Why should there be a shvuah? You have an admission that doesn't resemble the initial claim. Notice we have an inverted triangle, which would be a response in favor of Shmuel. And in fact, the Mishnah is Dafka is to be taken at face value in literal terms. And you'll ask then, why in this last citation is there a Shvua? Omer Rebbe Lozer, b'shetano b'dinar matbeos. The komash malon depruto b'chlal matbea isa. The claim was basically a claim of coins. So even though the claim was a gold coin, nevertheless, the initial claim is for a coin. And the admission was an admission of a coin. True, it's a different metal, but it's a coin all the same. Daika Nami, and by careful reading, you can see this to be the case. Dikotoni, the Mishnah itself said, Shakol min matbea achas. The Mishnah revealed that all of these are all one category. They all fall into one, the same general category of coins. We look in Rashi on the second line from the top. You'll notice there's a star there. Dinar matbeos tevua. Tevua means minted. B'matbea tzura, an image on the coin. Velo tano mishkal ze. He didn't ask for the weight of a dinar zahav. Vizeh hoide lo matbea. And the one who admitted, he admitted a coin. V'afal pi shezu kesef zu nechoshes. Never, even though one is silver, one is copper. Mi min ataina hi deku matbea nino. It's considered an admission within the realm of the original claim because they're all coins. V'rav, what's Rav's response to that? After all, the Mishnah said that shakol min matbea, and Shmuel or Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Lozer told us that the point of the Mishnah was to inform us that a pruta, a small copper coin, is also considered a coin. Well, the Rav, he responds, shakol din matbea achas. Now, in order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. The Rav, the boy lemeimar shaveh katani. Rav, who it's in his interest to explain the Mishnah in terms of value and not in terms of specific literal examples. Hochi meforesh seifa. He explains the seifa thusly, dekoma shakol min matbea echodhu, that which the Mishnah said all of them, the coins mentioned, the dinar zov, dinar kesa, traces punyan pruta, kol matbeo sashnuyos kan din echod lohem shaf haktana shibohen yesh bo kidei hodo'o l'chaivo shvua. Even the smallest of the coins represents a value sufficient enough to constitute an admission. But notice how we emphasize value, not literally that coin. Question. The Rebbe Elazar, Lema, Demita Seifa, Kishmuel Mitaretz. Shall we say that since we see Rebbe Elazar's involvement in explaining the Seifa on behalf of Shmuel, Reisho Nami Kishmuel Svirole, that Rebbe Elazar will agree with Shmuel in the ratio as well regarding the amount of the initial claim. Shmuel, if you recall, held that in order to generate an oath, an initial claim can be as little as 2 kesef, not like Rabbi said 2 kesef and a pruta. So does Rabbi Lozer hold like Shmuel on that issue as well? Lo. Seifa dafka. The position of Rabbi Lozer is that the seifa is in fact literal, is not talking in terms of value. Dikotoni shakol min mat beachas. The words of the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah, would indicate that the gold coin, silver coin, copper coins, all of them are one similar category, i.e., minted coins. That's called, they're all min matbea, they're all examples of coins. So, and that explanation just so happened to be of value, to be of benefit to Shmuel. However, that doesn't mean that Rebbe Lozer accepts Shmuel and his interpretation of the entire Mishnah, the Reisha, therefore the beginning of the Mishnah, which dealt with the amount of the initial claim. That's Kirav o Kishmuel. As far as Rebbe Lozer is concerned, it might be like Rav or like Shmuel. That is not definitive. Toshma. Now, well, we have another attempt to support from the Mishnah Rav's position. It said, Dinar Zohav Zohuv Li Biyadcha. The claim is for a gold coin, and the one being claimed from response as Ein L'cho B'yodi Ela Dinar Kesef, and the result Chayav. There is a Shvua. Taima, why is there a Shvua in this case? Diomale Zohav Zohuv. The expression in the initial claim was Dinar Zohav Zohuv means a minted gold coin. You owe me a minted gold coin. And the admission was to another kind of coin, a silver coin, but it's all within the realm of coins. And hence, you have a hoidah mimina taina, an admission reflective of the initial claim, which, if, as we've said so many times, is the requirement for a shvua. Hostama. However, had you like our Mishnah, this was a Tanaic source, but it wasn't our Mishnah. If you have, however, like in our Mishnah, where you didn't have Zohuv, you just had Dinar Zohuv, Shove Ka'omar Lei. And we saw in our Mishnah where the claim of was made of Dinar Zohuv, and the admission was Ein Lecha B'yodi Ela Dinar Kesef. So under those circumstances, we saw exemption. And that is fits in with Rav's scheme of things. We have to go over this last point with greater accuracy. The source just quoted was clearly a reference to a claim of a coin and the admission of a coin, and that's why it's chayev. And why is that the case? Because the term Zohuv was added here. However, if you see the term Dinar Zohuv without Zohuv, then Shove Ka'omale, then it's value that's indicated. And here Rashi is elaborate and explains how this supports Rav. So let's look at this together in the Rashi across from here. Hachiyosin b'tesefta dinar zov zohuv yeshul b'yadi ein l'cho b'yadi ela dinar kesef chayav upirish dinar zohuv hainu tavua, a minted coin. The taimo mishum dalkol min matbea echad. And the reason why the admission of a dinar kesef results in an oath is because they're all coins. Vavelei mimin hataino. And as we explained earlier, the admission is reminiscent of the initial claim. Umihu, siyata l'ravhu, this supports Rav, t'midi itzrich v'shizov zahuv, from the fact that here, in order to indicate coin, the word zahuv had to be added. Mechlal demasis in desnan dinar zahov, stamo, in the Mishnah, where the term dinar Zav appeared without Zahuv, Shove Ka'omar. The Mishnah was referring to value. V'sha'kol din matbea echad katani. And when we saw this in the Mishnah, where a claim of dinar zav was made, and the response, the admission was dinar keser, retraces opinion, that results in a chiyuv shvua, in a shvua obligation. Why? Because all of them have the law, the din of matbea, umi the seifa shove, and from the fact that the seifa of the Mishnah is a reference to value and not something literal. Reisha nami shove. The reisha, the earlier part of the Mishnah, also has to do with value. The katani reisha shtei kesef yesh li biyodcha. You have the value of two kesef that belongs to me. And the responder said, ein lucha biyodi ala pruta. I have only the value of a pruta that I owe you. Potter, the Mishnah ruled exempt. Yalkoch mishum delekuk firas shtei kesef hu. And as Rav said, the exemption in the opening of the Mishnah was because you don't have a denial of the value of two kesef. We continue back in the Gemara. Omar Ravashi, the inverted triangle indicates a response in favor of Shmuel. Hachi komar, this Brisa is to be understood as follows. The Brisa of Dinar Zahuv. Kol ha'oimer Dinar Zahav ke'oimer Dinar Zahav Zahuv Dami. Ravashi says that what the Brisa is telling me is that the initial claim wasn't in fact stated as Dinar Zahav Zahuv, but it was, the initial claim was stated as Dinar Zahav. And when you hear a claim like that, you should understand it as being a minted coin. So that Dinar Zahav itself indicates a minted coin without the necessity of spelling out the word Zahuv. Rashi, we look at together. Hochi komar kol oimer dinar zav komer zav zahuv domi ubraisa lo shatoin mefori zav zahuv komar. Not that the initial claim has that spelled out explicitly. Elo hochi komar, rather it is thusly hatoin dinar zav stam demistama zahuv zahuv komar. Valomer, and the one responds says ein luchav yodi elo dinar kesef dainu nami. Dinar matbea, it's also a coin. The Yeshna Haida Mimina Taina. And since the initial claim was for a coin, and the admission is a coin, it's considered admission from within the realm of the initial claim. And hence there is grounds for a Shavua. Our Gemara continues. Toni Rebbe Chia Lesue Larav. Rebbe Chia has a Tanaic source that supports Rav. And it reads, Sela li biyodcha. You owe me a Sela. A Sela is a coin, it's a type of coin. And the responder says, Ein lucha biyodi ela Sela choser shnei kesef. I owe you a Sela, but I, not a full Sela, a Sela minus two kesef. And we dash on two kesef. This is the kfira. I deny owing you two kesef. Chayav. That results in its shvua obligation. However, if he says, I owe you a selah minus a ma'a, chaser ma'a, ma'a is a much lesser amount, potter. It's less than two kesef. And therefore, you don't have a sufficient amount of denial to generate a Shavua. And that is just like Rav. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a point. You notice it's a long point. On the side of the Gemara, under the notes, say the topic heading, we've written, Shi'ur shel tainas shtei kesef lo ne'amar lo b'shavua habo b'tainas malve v'idas mixis deloive. This whole idea of an initial claim having a minimum amount of two kesef, is stated only in the context of a lender laying such a claim and the borrower admitting partial. Avol shvua ve'edus eid echad, the shvua as a result of a singular witness. We know that if two witnesses appear and state testimony, that testimony can immediately force someone to pay in accordance with their testimony. If one witness appears, so he doesn't force someone to pay, but he can force the litigant to swear an oath that counters the testimony of the singular witness. When you're dealing with testimony of a single witness that generates the need for an oath, afilu lo toanoi ela pruta valova kofar bakul chayav lishove. In a case like that, where you have a lender saying, I loaned you a pruta, and one witness corroborates that, and the borrower denies, I don't owe you anything, meaning I don't owe you even the pruta, he will have to swear. So that the rules that we've been speaking about till now are rules concerning a lender and borrower arguing with each other without the additional factor of a single witness. Once you introduce a vow that is generated by the testimony of a single witness, then all of those standards fall away. So now let's see this in the Gemara text. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Omar Shmuel, lo shonu, the requirement of an initial claim being of two kesef, or Rav said two kesef and a pruta, that whole concept or amount is stated ela betainus malve v'iduas loive, where the lender puts in his initial claim, has to be a minimum of two kesef, and the loive admits partial admission. Then a shvua is imposed. A shvua is imposed on the loive to substantiate his response to the claim. Avol tainus malve v'iduas eid echad, if you have a malve, a lender laying claim, and a singular witness stating testimony, afilu lo tano elo bepruta, even if the initial claim is for a mere pruta, chayav, the borrower who is denying that will have to swear. My taima, what's the reason for that? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, lo yokum eid echad beish lechol ovoin ulechol chatos. A singular witness cannot arise. L'chol avon u'l'chol chatos hu de'eno kam, he doesn't arise to impose punishment or impose sacrificial requirements. Avol kam hu l'shvua, a singular witness does come to impose an oath. If someone wants to challenge the testimony of a singular witness, he'll have to swear to counter that singular witness's testimony. V'tanya kol mokam sheshnayim mechayven oisem mamon, in all cases that two witnesses would obligate immediate money payment, actual payment, eid echad mechayvo shvua, a singular witness would impose an oath. True, a single witness is not mechayev mamon. If two witnesses, let us say, arose and said, we saw you borrow a pruta, so the lender wouldn't be able to deny that, he would have to pay the pruta. A singular witness, under those same circumstances, I testify that I saw you borrow the pruta, the lender will have to, if he doesn't want to pay the pruta, he'll have to swear, even though it's far less than the minimum requirements we learned about in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah was not dealing with the element of testimony of a single witness. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.